Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast, everyday life and experiences in the Western Balkans.
This podcast relies entirely on supporters who help to keep us sponsor and advert free through our community at patreon.com. You can pledge as little as $1 a month with early access to content and free giveaways. You will find a banner to our Patreon community on our website at balkanadventures.co. Thanks for helping us develop the podcast.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of the Balkan Adventures podcast with me, David Bailey, a podcast about the more positive sides of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkan region. On this episode, well, it's a three-way collab. Why three ways? Last week, my very good friend Christoph Baumgarten, who produces the Balkan Stories blog, sent me an interview that he's done recently in Vienna with a Londoner who lives in Sarajevo, which is about, I suppose, a five-hour drive away from me. Christoph caught up with Nick Semwogerera, I think I've said that right, but otherwise known across the music world as Smooth Deep. Nick has well and truly fallen in love with Bosnia-Herzegovina and the region generally. In this chat with Christoph, we're going to find out why he likes the Balkans so much, some of the cultural challenges he's found, what it's like being a black person in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and how not to ask a Balkan girl out for a date. So all that and a little bit more in the next 45 or so minutes here on this week's episode of the podcast.
This is the Balkan Adventures podcast.
Now, Nick, how long have you been living on the Balkans for?
Like on and off since 2010. So going on like 8 years now. So,
what was the thing that most drew you or that fascinated you? Because basically you've been living there on and off, but always for longer stretches of time.
The first thing that I was around university time, my final year of university, my first time I went over. And it was the thing that initially like drew me in was the way that despite all the, you know, negativity of like the conflicts that happened recently in the 90s, and people were getting on with their lives, and not just getting on with their lives, but finding ways to enjoy their lives. And that was kind of inspirational for me, particularly coming from London at the time. It was around the time when everyone was talking about the global crisis, economic crisis, and I'm like, well, economic crisis, I'm coming to a place that has been like, it's irrelevant, this crisis, but people are still, there was a certain spirit of the Balkans that just drew me in.
You've been living there, you've also been working there whenever you were legally allowed. So what have you been doing to you know, stay afloat financially to be able to make ends meet on the Balkans? How does it work for you?
Like in the last like 2 years, I've been teaching, and so but previously before that, I was, when I first actually arrived in Bosnia, I was doing video production with this guy from Bihać. Like we had met in Zagreb the year before, and then he came up with this idea to him and a couple other guys from Bihać to start this video production company in Sarajevo. So I went over. The production company didn't even get off the ground, but we just decided to independently go around doing videos for people. So that's basically what I did for a while.
One thing you told me, and you regularly have to do, is you have to leave all of these countries after a certain period of time. How does that make you feel? I mean, you're on the move constantly, obviously.
Yeah. Like, initially, it was just exciting, because it's like you're seeing something new all the time. And I still enjoy it. I can't say that I don't enjoy it. But because I've been doing it for so long, there are moments where it is a little bit annoying, because you're always, like, can throw you off a little bit in terms of, like, you want to organize something. Like, for example, most recently I wanted to do a music video with somebody. And you know how sometimes things are in the Balkans, things take time to organize, people are a little bit laid back. So by the time we got everything together to do this music video shoot, I checked the date and I was like, oh, damn, I gotta leave now. So it can be a little bit annoying, but initially, I had no issues with it.
How often do you change places in a year?
So between 4, like two to four, depends. Like, for example, because essentially, legally, I guess I should be like 3 months in each place. But for years in Bosnia, the border has been pretty loose. So I've always managed to kind of extend it, that 3 month period, to 6 months. But now it's getting a little bit, you know. So where I was doing it for the 6 months, I would basically be in Sarajevo for like 6 months, and then maybe back to London or Poland or somewhere else. But now, because I'm dividing up to the 3 months, it's about like three or four different places.
And this is a visa issue primarily?
Yeah, it's primarily a visa issue, yeah, absolutely.
And the 3 months mean that you get tourist visa, you're allowed to stay there for 3 months, and then you have to leave again.
Yeah, but like there's always been like this kind of loophole in Bosnia, and I guess the former Yugoslavian states in general, where they know that it takes a long time to get your paperwork done. So if you have started a job, they recognize it takes a long time to get your paperwork done. So if you still haven't got it done within the 3 months, they usually just let you leave for a day even, and then just come back. So, like, I guess technically at the border, they should be asking you, why are you coming back? But they never do. So because of that, that's how people usually extend their stay.
Isn't it irritating in the sense that, you know, we have about 1% of the population leaving Bosnia and Serbia each year, and they just do not allow any people to immigrate into those countries?
Yeah, that's the thing that is the most illogical part about it, because with the amount of people leaving, it would seem logical that you would be more willing to accept people coming in, especially people coming in and bringing something with, like, some skill. I'm teaching, Even younger people who are, there's a lot of younger people coming and they're working online, but they're spending their money in the country, so they're still a benefit. So I know it's quite an illogical way that they've made it so difficult for people to immigrate into the country.
Do you have any idea or suspicion of why that may be the case?
I've not really. It's kind of one of these things that boggles my brain. Like when you ask people, they're just, it's just Bosnia. That's just the way it is. People, but I have no idea why it's like that.
Where would you say have you spent most of those 8 years on the Balkans?
Predominantly Bosnia, specifically Sarajevo, but obviously other parts of Bosnia as well, and a little bit Serbia as well, but predominantly Bosnia.
This is a difficult question to ask because the answer will inevitably offend somebody. What's your favorite place?
Well, I have to say Sarajevo. Well, I have to say in the sense of it's the, like, there's places that I probably maybe enjoy more in terms of if I want to go out and have a good time and things like that. But like Sarajevo feels like home to me. So it's definitely my favorite place.
Well, obviously something that, you know, people kind of hear, but you do have African parents, and it shows. Is that an issue ever?
I wouldn't say that it's an issue. It's never been an issue at all. But there are some, since 2010 to now, there are some interesting changes in terms of perception. For example, when I first arrived, I would definitely say there was, I would argue that there was close to a 0% issue when it comes to racism. Like, I always used to make a joke that people are too busy like fighting with their ethnical groups within Bosnia and the Balkans to really bother about anyone else. But the interesting thing, for lack of a better word, since a lot of the Arab investment there, I've noticed a little bit of like tension building towards, I guess initially, like Arab investors and things like that, and then it's kind of a slippery slope, because then it's just become about, oh, foreigners coming, or anybody who's a little bit different or dark skin or whatever. But generally speaking, like if I have been in a situation where somebody's said something that it could be deemed racist or is racist, for example, I've never, 9 times out of 10, I don't take the same offense to it that I would take in the UK, for example, because 9 times out of 10, I would say it's coming from a place of like cultural ignorance opposed to quote unquote hate.
One thing you haven't mentioned is that you're also a musician. Has your stay on the Balkans, has your life there inspired any songs?
Actually, the song Sarajevo Grade Moj, after the Halid Besic song, which was actually produced, the instrumental actually produced by my friend in Macedonia. So I sent him the original song. I told him I wanted to do a hip-hop version of it, and like a week later he sent me the instrumental, and like the rest is history. Like, I mean, that's my most viewed music video today.
This is the Balkan Adventures podcast.
I need a Balkan beauty. Yeah, I need a Balkan beauty. I need a Balkan beauty. Yeah, I need a Balkan beauty. I need a Balkan beauty. Yeah, I need a Balkan beauty. I need a Balkan beauty. And that Balkan beauty, excuse me, I don't mean to be choosy, but Balkan girls have me sweating profusely. It's so hot, they light my fire. It's a Balkan girl that I desire. Always look fly in their attire. That is something you need to admire. A Balkan girl can take you higher. Believe what I say, I'm no liar. The music to my ears when they're talking, always looking so fly when they're walking. Love to play polo, but guess what? I'm all in. When push comes to shove, bro, you'll be falling. Need to get a Balkan girl, no stalling. When you hear booyah, too deep's calling. Rah. I need a Balkan beauty. Yeah, I need a Balkan beauty. I need a Balkan beauty. Yeah, I need a Balkan beauty. Rah. I need a Balkan beauty. Yeah, I need a Balkan. Or Serbia, if good looks could kill, they would murder ya. Macedonia and Slovenia.
tattoo. Before whenever you look, believe it is true. I can't forget about Montenegro. Once you've had a Balkan girl, you were let go. Kosovo to Albania, Bulgaria, straight to Romania. There's girls, girls.
You also do a lot of other videos on YouTube that are not just music related, but about your life in the Balkans. I mean, why do you do that?
I initially did it. The first video, I remember the first video I ever done was basically one to kind of give a different perspective of the Balkans to people from outside the region. Because I remember when I first came, being a little bit, I won't say scared, but a little bit, just conscious of things that people have told me based on a narrative that we're presented in the UK of, you know, there's a war there, there's all these criminals there. And then when I arrived in the Balkans and I was like greeted with a lot of hospitality, and I thought, okay, I should do some videos showing the other side that people don't really talk about, especially to be honest with you, people of colour. Like, a lot of my black friends, my Asian friends in the UK say to me, like, when I first went to the Balkans, like, isn't it racist over there? And I was saying to them, actually, I've faced more racial discrimination in the UK than I ever have in the Balkans. I think the only, the biggest difference, if I had to compare it, is that in the UK, you get that everyday, what we call everyday racism, this kind of slight-handed racism, whereas in the Balkans, it would be a very rare occasion for somebody to come and say something racially abusive. But then in those minute cases, it would be like quite in your face. And I think that's the difference to if I had to compare them. But essentially, I started doing the videos to just give my perspective of the Balkans, which I feel would open up more of a dialogue about the region, and also encourage people to come and check out the region for themselves.
Where can I find those videos?
On YouTube. Just search Smooth Deep and my YouTube channel will come up.
There is a video, also a music video, that we've been talking about like a while back, of a song that you wanted to produce at least.
Balkan Beauty. Yeah, Balkan Beauty. Like, actually, I wrote the song a month after I released about three or four months after I released Sarajevo Grade Moj. So this song's pretty old now, it's going on a couple of years, but it was inspired by a conversation I had with my flatmate in Sarajevo. The first time I was there, I remember we were walking through the main street and I was just looking at all these women, like, there's so many beautiful women on the streets. And he was like, he grabbed me and he's like, Nick, stop bumping into people, what are you doing? And then he looked at me and he noticed that I was like watching the women walking past. He's like, stop looking at these women, just walk straight. So I was explaining to him that it was kind of a cultural shock to me, because I said to him, basically, I haven't walked down a main street before and seen that amount of attractive women on the street. And he said, how can this be possible? You're from London, there's more people in London. I'm like, okay, if we're talking about numbers, mathematically speaking, of course, then there's going to be more attractive women by numbers in London. But if we're talking about percentage, I would strongly argue that the percentage of attractive women is a lot higher in the Balkans. So that's where the idea of the song came. And then it was a year later, after I released Sarajevo Grade Moj, when I actually put pen to paper and wrote the song. After initially recording the song, I felt like it was too good of a song to just kind of just throw out on YouTube and iTunes or whatever. So I thought, like, I actually want to do it like a real proper official release, a bit of promotion and whatnot. So I initially started a crowdfund to produce the music video, because the idea was to shoot in every capital city in the Balkans, and then a few other like tourist places, like on the Croatian coast and whatnot. So I thought, okay, I'm going to need a bit of money behind me to do this. So I did the crowdfund. And I think probably the initial mistake I made with the crowdfund was not targeting it more to the diaspora community. Because obviously people don't earn a lot of money in the Balkans. So the idea of, giving somebody money to produce a record and a music video was a bit alien. And also the idea of crowdfunding itself is pretty alien in the Balkans, because a lot of people described it as not just my campaign, a couple of other crowdfund campaigns I saw within the Balkans at the time were being described as begging for money. So I was like, okay, this crowdfund didn't work, and I understand why it didn't work. But I thought, okay, I still don't want to just throw the song out there. And this producer, DJ from in London, who has a lot of connections in the Croatian house scene, he came across me on YouTube. So we started speaking. He didn't actually know I made music at the time. He wanted me to basically be like a promoter for his events and stuff like that because of my personality and whatnot. And I said to him, you know, I actually make music as well. And he said, really? So then I played him the Balkan Beauty song. He's like, okay, we're going to do this. So we ended up making a connection with a record label in Dubrovnik. And it seemed like, okay, we were going to get a bit of money up front to do the music video. I thought, okay, this was great. And then I remember at the beginning of the talks, the owner of the label was like, I really like this song, but it could be a problem for my people. And I was confused, like, what do you mean it's a problem for your people? This is a song celebrating the Balkans and the beauty of the Balkans and beautiful women from the Balkans. Why would it be a problem for your people? So then he reiterated, okay, let me say it again. It will be a problem. When I say it will be a problem for my people, I mean it might be a problem for Croatians. So now I'm thinking, okay, why is it a problem for Croatians? And he said, well, the thing is, in the song, you mentioned Serbs. I said, yeah, of course I mentioned Serbs. It's about Balkan beauty. So I mentioned every country within the Balkans. He's like, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, my people might take it as a bit of an issue. You know, like we hashed it out in the end. But then I faced similar problems with some other people I tried to get involved in the project. I had another guy in the UK who's Bosnian born, but he grew up in the UK. And he's a pretty good graphic designer, so I wanted him to design the front cover. I played a song to him, kind of similar response. He was like, yeah, no, I really like the song, but I don't feel I could get involved in it. And again, it was the same situation. Like, what's the problem? He was like, I think like my family wouldn't be happy with me getting involved with the song that's related to Serbs. It's the same. And I was like, okay, I don't. So then that was one of the things that kind of dragged it down. People, you know, feeling certain ways about their views, their national identity and whatnot. In the end, we hashed out a loose agreement with this label in Dubrovnik, but then it dragged out as things happened, tend to happen in the Balkans. It was moving really slowly. And then when the video ideas were being thrown at me, I wasn't particularly happy with the idea. It was like more or less, there was a lot of compromises that I made simply because I knew I was going to get the funding for it. So, okay, maybe it's worth the compromise. So the first compromise was changing. We made a whole remix of the song. So it was no longer a hip-hop song. It was a house song. Same lyrics, same everything, but with a house instrumental. I said, okay, fine, let's go along with that. And then the video concept idea came, and it was basically get a boat on the Croatian coast, bunch of women in bikinis jumping up and down on the boat. And I was like, no, that's not really the idea that I was going for, and I ended up deciding to just go separate ways, and that's it. So now I'm still attempting to push it out independently.
Do you have any ideas how you could get the funding?
Like, one of the ideas I did have, it's about making the connection though, was maybe to link up with a company. Like, another tip, I guess, kind of a typical way that I've seen artists do it in particularly in hip-hop in Serbia, where I've seen them being sponsored by, I don't know, a beer company or whatever. And the beer company will pay for the video as long as you promote the product in the video. So if there was a product that I liked and I agreed with, I would be open to doing it that way, for sure.
Since you've also mentioned the music scene, obviously, and you do have close ties to at least the hip-hop scene in ex-Yugoslavia. What's the most interesting thing about that scene, like from a British perspective?
The like most interesting thing about the scene, for example, like if you take obvious examples like Edo Majka in Bosnia, or you somebody like Stuka in Serbia is that they, for me, really personify what hip hop is, because, you know, as a rapper in hip hop, it's traditionally about telling your story. So no matter where you are, you tell your story, you tell your perspective of the world. And I think like artists like Edomaika and Stuka really, really do that, because I will listen to Edomaika, for example, and it's so Bosnian. Like you can hear the Bosnian influences, the way that he enunciates himself is in the music, but he still really knows how to rap. And the thing that was really interesting is the scene in comparison to, like, of course, places like London, Toronto, and what, it's a small scene, but the people within the scene are so passionate about it. It's like maybe even doubly passionate about it than you might find in some bigger scenes.
That is a scene that doesn't know any national borders, by and large.
Exactly, exactly. It's like you'll have artists collaborating with each other across national lines, and that's what hip-hop is about. So, like, as small as the scene is in the Balkans, they've really personified, I think, what hip-hop is about. Actually, when I first went to Belgrade in 2009, it gave me a kind of feeling like how hip-hop was in the 90s, like when it was really becoming popularized. Like, it kind of had that feeling, but with a little Serbian flavor.
And why do you think that is?
I think, well, obviously, one of the obvious reasons is that, you know, people always joke, everything in the Balkans is like 10 years behind. But in a technical sense, like, the scene kicked off later. So the steps that were taken when hip-hop got popularized in Western Europe and the Western world in general, those kind of same steps were happening in the Balkans, but just at a later stage.
Osjećam se dobro, ko da sam smoto, zadovoljno sretno, stiglo je ljeto, užareni beton, lagano se šetam, danas je nedelja i ništa mi ne smeta. Moje čale, zovu se Ray-Ban, zbog njih me ne vide kako ih gledam. Brate, ne bi joj naplatio ni Marku, pogledaj kako liže sladoled u parku. I onu starku ne bi šetala sama, kad bi samo znala kakva sam budala. Gospođo dozvoli, ja ću te odvest u vrijeme kad si imala 18. Ćao, šta ima, šta se radi, excuse my French, ali moj mali stalno te mjerka, neprestalno šmeka. Šta da mu kažem, djeda te čeka. Ona nije spremna, tako mi rekla. Zar ona ne zna da je ova rijeka nešto kao ribnjak u kojem plivam od jedne do druge, pa treću skidam. Ne budi stidna, jer nisam ni ja. I meni je prvi put, uzmi malo vina. Evo je sexy back pjesma od Justina. Pojačat ću da bude malo glasnija.
The sun's shining, so I'm smiling. No stress on my brain, success happens with timing. So, yeah, we got it's a frame of mind that I'm in. As long as I'm feeling it, I'll keep rhyming. Sexy girls on every corner, each one is like, ooh, under your bomb, but steaming hot. Yeah, just like a sauna, Balkan summers are hot. I need to warn you, but I can chill in the sun all day long, watching Balkan beauties with my shades on. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bruv. Balkan summers, something you gotta love. You'll be back time and time again. In winter, we just wait for the sun to shine again. I'm feeling good, just like I should. Shining like a star, but not from Hollywood. Nah, I'm just being me. Summertime of Bosnia got me feeling free. Till next summer, why don't you come here and see? Beautiful weather, beautiful women, are you feeling me? Maybe you gotta come to feel the vibe. Maybe words can't explain what I feel inside. And someone told you someone ain't good over here, they lied. I smile every time the sun starts to rise.
there would be a lot of critics that would say that, you know, hip-hop is, you know, not the cool thing anymore and Western music, at least, you know, because, like, all the stories have been told and a lot of the musicians just got too wealthy to tell any more good stories. And then now you're telling me, hey, come on, listen to the Balkans. They, you know, tell great stories and they personify the original idea. Do you think that would have anything to do with the economic and social circumstances that those people live under?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, you look at a lot of the artists that were coming out, like that set the foundation of the scene. I mean, coming off the back of the conflict, the war, it was definitely fueled by their environment, absolutely. And you kind of see, like, when you look at the older artists, the artists who have been around, like Struka in Serbia, you see that they really, like, they can be comparable in my eyes to guys like, for example, in the UK, like I would say somebody like Black Twang, who were innovators of the UK scene. Like, I would say you can see that these guys are innovators of their scene. But yeah, like you said, they're products of their environment, and that's essentially why they do personify this, what hip hop is about. But saying that, you see some of the younger guys coming out now, and I guess you can call it globalization, whatever you want to call it. You know, the internet has opened up the world to everyone. There is that the influence of the type of hip hop that you were implying, where it's no longer cool, because hip hop essentially is pop culture at this point. It's so popular. So you do have younger artists now just trying to emulate what they see in the States in the commercial market. And I think that is kind of a shame, because what made the scene special when I arrived was this authentic flavor that they put to it.
Coming back to like a, you know, general setting again, what is the thing that you most appreciate about the Balkans?
What is the thing that I most appreciate about the Balkans? I think it's interesting, actually, because people tell me that the hospitality and stuff isn't like it used to be. Like, now I can imagine that it isn't. I can imagine, particularly if you talking about the former Yugoslavian region, I can imagine there are reasons why hospitality isn't, and people are not as warm as they used to be. But coming from London, like, to me, it's like people are very warm generally in comparison to coming from London. So maybe that's my advantage as a foreigner. Maybe I suppose that could be a possibility. But like when I first came, there were people who, you know, didn't know me from anywhere, but they were like willing to help you in a difficult situation. There's still that kind of neighborly love. I still think, even though that it might be to a lesser extent than what it used to be, I still feel like it definitely exists, this community kind of spirit. And I think, which actually reminds me of African culture as well. So there are, that's actually one of the big things. There are many similarities in the Balkan that to African culture. So even though, like, for obvious reasons, I stand out like a sore thumb, in other reasons, I just fit in perfectly.
In what sense?
Like, for example, like some of the things, some are negative, some are positive. But for example, the way people express themselves is in the Balkans is, I would say, identical to how people express themselves in African culture, Caribbean culture, where people are very loud. And for example, growing up in Britain, when we come across people outside of African Caribbean culture, and they would see me and my friends whatever talking, or sometimes see my parents and my family whatever talking, people would ask me like, why are you guys always arguing and shouting? No, they're not arguing and shouting. That's just the way they talk. And then coming to the Balkans, this is a kind of similar thing. People are very loud, very expressive. So I was like, okay, this isn't just an African thing. This is over here in the Balkans as well. And then there's some funny things like what we would call African timing or black people timing in the UK, of people being late all the time. But it's the same thing in the Balkans. Somebody says, hey, let's meet up at 5:30. They're probably going to arrive at 6. And then if they're 6 and they're still not there, you ring them up, like, where are you? Yeah, I'm going to be there in 5 minutes. That's probably like another 15 minutes. And that's exactly the same kind of thing you'll find in like African and Caribbean cultures.
Is there a thing that you still have a hard time figuring it out or getting along with?
Is there anything that... I feel like sometimes the dating scene in the Balkans, particularly in smaller towns, can be like so complicated. Like there's all these, you get game playing everywhere, but there's all these little hoops you gotta jump through. Like one of the examples that's like clear in my mind is when I was renting an apartment in Rogosha in, what was this, 2012, I believe, and there was this girl that I always used to see on the bus. Like, we would get on the bus around the same time, and we'd kind of do the body language flirting thing, that flirting with the eyes and whatever, but we never spoke. And this went on for like maybe 4 or 5 weeks. So I said to myself, okay, this is like, we're not in school. The next time I see her, I'm gonna go and speak to her. So I get on the bus one day, there she is, she's on the bus. Same thing, doing same kind of interactions. We get off the bus, we're walking in the same direction, so I introduce myself and speaking to her. Everything seemed to be having a lovely conversation. So then I go, what seemed to me to be the obvious conclusion to the conversation was maybe to exchange numbers and go for a drink sometime. So like I say, hey, let's exchange numbers, and then suddenly it was no. Like she's just no, and then she's gone flying down the road. And I remember just standing on the street, baffled, like, what just happened here? And I told a couple of my friends about it, and they were like, oh, you know, you can't just speak to people on the street like that. And I was like, why not? Like, she's attractive, we seem to have a connection, why can't... No, you can't do that. And coming... I do understand it in the sense of smaller towns, everybody knows everybody, people are kind of worried about what other people think, all this kind of thing. But at the same time, coming from London, where that's just a normality. Like, you see somebody, oh. In fact, even the fact between me and this girl is that we were seeing each other, even though we weren't speaking, we were seeing each other regularly. Like, so to me, that made it seem even more of a normal thing to do. But for example, in London, you might just be on a train. You see somebody and you think, okay, boom, I'm going to go and speak to them. But I guess from the London state of mind, it's because there's so many people, you might never see this person again, so you kind of take your opportunity. So from that perspective, I do understand why that kind of social interaction is very different.
Did you ever see her again?
Yeah, it was pretty awkward. Like, I remember us it was like a couple of days later I saw her again, and I don't think she like, because I was like standing at a certain angle, I don't think she recognized me at first. I turned around, so she was smiling, and then she kind of like recognized me, and it just was awkward. It was like, okay, yeah. From then it was just kind of awkward.
What are your next plans?
So I'll be in London for a couple of weeks, probably to the end of the month, and then Skopje for a month. Because I actually left some stuff at my friend's house in Skopje, so I swore, kill two birds with one stone. And then in Montenegro for 3 months, and then back to Italy.
So there you have it. That's Nick, otherwise known as Smooth Deep, a London musician, now based most of the year here in Sarajevo, Bosnia and Herzegovina. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Please do subscribe, share and like. Tell your friends. Leave us a review wherever you listen to this, whether it's on Acast, Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes or wherever. So until the next episode of this podcast, please stay safe.
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.